Cobalt native David Bridges is obsessed with Dr. Henry William Drummond and with his community. His sister says he is obsessed. David Bridges would also say as such. Getting involved in your community is a really good thing. The Cobalt native probably knows more about who was one of Canada's most famous poets, Dr. Henry William Drummond. Today, Backroads Bill tells a story about two people, the poet and a par excellence fan of the poet. A. When you read your favorite prose, you wonder about the author. Where did that inspiration come from? The beginnings and the background becomes more relevant when you visit their roots. The poem below was often recited at country dances, church services and family gatherings during a time when reading out loud and reciting poetry was what people did and appreciated. Henry Drummond was a populist poet of the times. They listened then and created pictures in their minds. Read the poem, you might think the poet is poking fun of the dialect. It was certainly not his own. What he was really doing was passing on the French-Canadian stories he heard and celebrated what was, to him, a rich culture of people living with the land. He purposely wrote in broken English to retain the heritage of the French-Canadian farmer and woodsman. He broke the writing bonds of convention. Little baddies you bad little boy, not mochi you care how busy you, re-kippin your poor grandpere tryin' to stop you every day chasin de hen aroon, de hay. We don't you give, dem a chance to lay? Little baddies, off on de fiel, you faller de plow den ween you, re-tire you scare the cow sicken de dog till dey jump the wall so de milk ain't good for notting at all. N. You, re-only 5½ dis fall, little baddies. Too sleepy for sayin' de prayer tonight? Never emin I suppose it'll be all right say dem tomorrow, ah. Dear he go, fast asleep in a minute or so, and he, ll stay lock dat till de rooster crow, little baddies. Den wake us up right away tout sweet lookin' for something more to eat, makin' me tink of dem long leg crane soon as day swaller, day start again, I wonder your stomach don't get no pain, little baddies. But see him now lyin' dear in bed, look at de arm underneath, he's head. If he grow lock dat till he s 20 year I bet he, ll be stronger dan Louis Sear and, beat all de voyagers leavin' here, little baddies. Just feel de muscle along he's back, won't give, him mochi bother for carry pack on de long portage, any size canoe, dear, s not many ting dat boy won't do for he, s got double joint on he's body too, little baddies. But little baddies, please don't forget we raider you, re stayin de small boy yet, so chase de chicken and, mock, dem scarin, do all you lock wit, your ol grandpere for ween you, re big feller he won't be dear, little baddies. Drummond background. The author, Henry Drummond, is often considered to be Canada's first national poet, a great poet, the poet of the habitant. He became Cobalt's first doctor and was revered by the silver mining community. You may visit the foundation of his house, his place of inspiration or the place of community recognition. David Bridges knows this. He is the artistic director of the Spring Pulse Poetry Festival, Northern Ontario's largest and only poetry arts event. He is an aficionado. The Dr. William Henry Drummond National Poetry Contest was founded in Cobalt in 1970, Bridges said. It is the oldest non-governmental national poetry contest in Canada. The Dr. William Henry Drummond Poetry Contest Award Ceremony is held annually to honor the memory and legacy of one of the most popular poets in the English-speaking world. He said we will have to read a number of Drummond's poems to appreciate what his intent really was. His goal was to talk about rural French Canadians and share his experiences of this culture with English-speaking people. Successful he was. He published 6 books of poetry during his lifetime. Drummond began reciting his poems at parties and at events, and he soon published The Habitant and other French-Canadian poems in 1897. His goal was to talk about rural French Canadians and share his experiences of this culture with English-speaking people. His work was well received and he toured Canada, England and the United States, reciting his poems. By 1897 4 additional editions had been printed and, by the time Drummond died, more than 40,000 copies had been printed. In perspective, the population of Canada and media attention were both pale in comparison with today's numbers and impact. The preface for the Habitant anthology was written by poet Louis Frechette, and he writes in French of the good intended by Drummond's words and observations. Frechette notes, his friend, Drummond had not written his verses, as examples of a dialect, or with any thought of ridicule. Having lived beside French Canadians most of his life, Drummond had grown to admire and love them. Although the English-speaking public might be familiar with French Canadians from Montreal or Quebec City, it had little opportunity of becoming acquainted with the habitant. He endeavored to paint a few types. This is contained within The Habitant and other French Canadian poems. Throughout the 20th century, The Wreck of the Julie Plant became his best-known poem. Cobalt Heritage David said that, until his death, Drummond commuted frequently between Montreal and Cobalt, where he and his brothers had acquired an interest in a silver mine, called the Drummond Mine. He built what was considered then to be a lavish two-story log cabin overlooking Kerr Lake. It is said he personally picked the stones for the fireplace and the hearth. This you will see at the monument in Cobalt. Also, he hired only miners who could sing. He would sit on the veranda and listen to their melodies. Not an obsession, but what he continued to do all his life, listening carefully to the lifestyle and then writing. Cobalt was then a rough and tumble canvas tent boom town. Steamboats on Lake Temiscaming were overloaded. Store shelves emptied before new supplies arrived by the TNNO Railroad. Wood-siding hotels, halls were always jammed. Boardwalks skirting the mud lengthened past new building lots. Music halls entertained. Sawmills whined night and day. It was the Canadian frontier, Bridges said. A walkabout in Cobalt will give you a flavor of a place. Drummond spent most of the winter of 1906-07 in Cobalt combating a smallpox epidemic. It was during this time he authored The Voyager and other poems, Bridges said. During this time he was not always well himself. He returned to Montreal in early March, in time to take his wife on a trip to New York and Washington. He returned to Montreal to read We're Irish Yet to the annual dinner of the St. Patrick's Society on March 18, 1907. He once again returned to Cobalt. In less than a month on April 7, he died of a cerebral hemorrhage. Drummond was never forgotten by the community. His original cabin, hearth, was constructed in 1905. It was eventually destroyed by fire. In the 1930s, the hearth was preserved on site with a chain-link fence and a commemorative plaque dedicated by the attending Governor General in 1933 and later another plaque in 1969. Later still, the entire area was deemed to be unsafe and the fireplace stones were recovered and reconstructed in the town of Cobalt with a commemorative plaque in 1988 on Lang Street. The Drummond Cairn is one of the many heritage mining destinations of Cobalt, and there is the poetry festival and contest. As Bridges says, this will continue. See the map. Drummond Legacy. Bridges talks about Drummond's writing legacy. Drummond helped to establish an alternative for other writers. He created an independent Canadian literature, in which writers could write in their own vernaculars as opposed to traditional conventions. The Scottish-born Canadian poet Robert Service, 1874-1958, utilized this license within many of his famous poems such as The Cremation of Sam McGee, Till I Came to the Marge of Lake LaBarge, and A Derelict There Lay, and The Shooting of Dan McGrew. Then I got to figuring who he was, and wondering what he'd do. Service, like Drummond, wrote of cabins. See Service's, The Little Log Cabin, and, He Ain't Got Nothing Coming and, He Can't Afford Tare Eat. At one time, within our school's curriculum, these Drummond poems were a mainstay of Canadian literature, but his creations became shelved. His work was criticized because of a fear that his portrayal of the habitant would create resentment among Quebecois. His writings are not a formative study. These are sincere reflections of a reporter. He worked and lived in rural French Canada. It represents a recording of the thoughts and feelings of the residents he respected. He worked and lived with them. He really helped preserve what might be called a uniquely Canadian language and a way of early pioneer life. Think about the next time you say or hear, we are Canadian, Drummond would approve. He was preserving our heritage. Now in the works is the Dr. Drummond Memorial Park, located beside the library. The signs will have a makeover, and within the adjoining lot a glacial boulder rock garden with cedar benches and new banners. Bridges has pledged some of his own money and the time and effort to look for additional funding to continue the dream. Poetry reading The Red Canoe is a favorite Drummond poem of Backroads Bill, because like Roy McGregor, Bill Mason, James Raffin, Omer Stringer, Hap Wilson and Kirk Whipper and many canoeists, our little red and green canvas canoes are special crafts. Canoes and canoe trips are mindful times. The red canoe de WN is sleepin' in de pine, but oh. De night is black. An all day long de loon bird cry on lack why agamic no light as shinin' by de shore for helpin' steer heem true ween out upon de night, ubalde he talk, de red canoe. I hear de paddle dip, dip, dip. Once more I hear de loon I feel de breeze was show de way for storm dat, s comin' soon, and, den de sky fly open wit. De lightning splittin' true and, way beyond, de point I see de leetle red canoe. It, s dark again, but listen how across why a gamic de tonder, s roarin' loud, and, now de mountains answer back I wonder wit, de noise lock dat. He hear me, le bon dieu ween on ma ni I ax him save de leetle red canoe. Is dat a voice, so far away, it die upon ma here? Or only WN was foolin' me, and, whisperin', Belzemeyer? Yaws, yaws, Ubalde, your Belzemeyer she, s prayin' hard for you and, den again de lightning come, but where a s de red canoe? Dey say I am mad, dem foolish folk, cuz ween de night is black and, ween de wavelock snow dreef come on lack way agamak I talk, de place where a long ago we used to sit, us two, and, wait until de lightning bring de leetle red canoe. Other thoughts for a red canoe by back roads bill these boats contain our spirit and energy stored. As Drummond says, and, way beyond, de point I see de leetle red canoe. It takes us, too many more places, more to come? The canoe only asks we take care. We do. Through the winter it rests quietly. We carefully dust the snow off, and pat it. We look at the canoe, always wondering about the next time? Anticipation grows. The places, the water, in our minds. And then, comes spring, finally. Its magic comes alive. We slide the canoe into the water, reach for my paddle worn. Those longing thoughts, are here and now, we take the first draw. The first dip. The sound, the ripple pattern. A smile. My prose aside, maybe I should enter it into the next festival, you should consider as well. I think Dr. Henry Drummond was the Robert Service of Northern Ontario. By happenstance, I met David's sister, Sue Nielsen, a 16-year reporter for the Temiskaming Speaker newspaper by the commemorative cairn located by the Paul Penna Library. She said, he will talk your ear off about Drummond. He did.